Boss Man Show here with Howard Bison football coach Larry Scott. Great man. Been around the block a few times, helped the Bison out. Coach Scott, what's good, brother? How you doing?
Man, doing great, man. Just, you know, all in this thing and, the COVID and everything we got going on in this country right now. So everybody bobbing and weaving, trying to figure it all out and put it all together. But it's been great, man. Doing well.
Coach Scott, talk to us about this. How has it been getting a job in the middle of all this COVID stuff? So you couldn't have a spring practice, really, because you got the job in February and spring practice was canceled because of the COVID. So how's it been transitioned to a new job as a head coach now in the midst of the COVID pandemic here?
I'll tell you what, it's had its challenges, you know, but at the end of the day, we've taken all those challenges and embraced every one of them as to breaking this whole thing in down into what is it that we can do right now to get better. Let's stop wasting so much time on things that we can't do because of the nature of the pandemic and COVID and all the challenges it's presented to us. But let's dig deep into the things that we can do right now to change our culture. To lay down what our philosophy is as a program, to install our systems and to do all of those type of things. So we had to have, like a lot of people, you know, go to social media, go to the platforms that everybody's having to use right now through the business sector and in the sports world and everything of Zoom and Microsoft Teams and all of those different things, which was a way of kind of leaning into their world, you know, a little bit to reach them, to be able to teach them and start to do those things and get them, you know, going on things like accountability and all of those different things that we're asking them to do right now and do the best that we can with those through those streams to get that done. So it's had its challenges, but at the same time, it's allowed us as coaches to really dig in and think out of the box and find creative ways of reaching these young people right where they are with them being all over the country, because we didn't return back for classes and things either. So we got kids all over the country, from Florida to Texas to Alaska to, you know, all the different places across the United States. But, you know, to find a way to continue to bring them together, to keep them, engaged, to keep them into the idea of team and our philosophies and how we're going to build it and change the culture here and change this thing around into a winning culture where championships are on the horizon for us. So that's what we've been doing.
And Coach, speaking of that, man, so how has it been to build that culture virtually? Because I know y'all don't have a guy in your face to really hold them accountable. So what things are you guys doing virtually to hold these guys accountable, build that culture so they know they get back to D.C. when they get back at the university?
Yeah.
What to expect from you and your staff?
Yeah, good question. What we've done is try to tailor our schedules around what the schedule would be like if we were all here. So the same times we would have meetings are the same times that we're meeting virtually. So it fits into their class schedule, their online class schedule, so that they can get into the muscle memory part of mentality and mindset of, here's my day. I'm sitting at home, but, you know, I still have obligations and different things that I have to adhere to as if I was on campus. And right now, those are time. So when we're logged in, everybody's logged in only to site 5 minutes early. Cameras are on. You know, they got shirts on. They're all sitting in sun. They're waiting on me to come onto the screen. So it's just the whole deal of being on time for things is still there. We purchased some software that we can be able to send our workouts out and monitor when they work out, where they got to check the boxes of what they work out. We can send videos of the exercises and different things for them to be able to log into it and go to it and have their workouts and check their workouts. We have a symptoms check survey for guys that are getting sick, if they're dealing with any of the issues or any of the symptoms of COVID-19, that they can report to us, so that then our medical doctors here and training staff can report and talk to doctors in their area and get them connected so that they get the right treatment and different things that they need that way. We're having them, you know, turning their weekly body weights to us just to make sure we can monitor guys' body weights. Are they fluctuating? Are guys getting too heavy? Are guys getting too light? You know, that way we can also put in things into the app about nutrition. Guys that need to be calorie intake guys and guys that need to burn calories and different things like that. So we're monitoring their weights. And they have to report those weights on a weekly basis, and everybody has to report it by a certain time on a certain day. And if you're not, you know, doing that, we're telling everybody, hey, man, you know what you're doing. You're writing your resume. There's nothing we can do to correct the behavior right now, but ultimately be able to, when you do come back, just pull out your sheet, pull out the ledger and say, hey, man, here's how accountable you've been to our team, our football organization, what we've asked you to do. Are you on time for your meetings? Are you reporting your body weight? Are you getting your workouts done? And then we're going through that on Mondays and calling everybody, out, the guys that are doing it well and in class. We're not having any class or academic issues. Guys that are on time for their meetings, guys that are locked in their meetings, answering questions and doing a good job. That way, guys that are reporting their body weights on time, guys that are putting their morning symptoms checks in there so that we can make sure we're monitoring their health. as best that we can. So it's all a little bitty things like that that we hold them accountable to, because if they can do those things and they can learn to do those things sitting where they are, then we fully expect them to be able to do it when they're here. And we've already crossed that hurdle as far as building a culture of accountability and what that means to the overall success of the football organization.
Now, Coach, when do you think you have your young men on campus for that spring semester for football season? Is that still up in there? Iffy-ish? How's that looking? I know with it being October, I know here in Georgia the cases are going up. I'm pretty sure it's the same in D.C. as well. We're getting colder faster up there than it is down here. So what's the word on that? How's it going to go? We're trying to get all these young men from all these into D.C.
Yeah. Obviously, all of that's going to have to stay flexible as we transition through this time. You know, you got the election. You got a lot of different things, a lot of different variables that's going to come in to actually see what this thing actually does. And it's really going to probably dictate, you know, what that's going to look like for us. But right now, we're talking about controlling the things that we control. We don't control those things, but the things that we control is making sure we put ourselves in the best position that we can so that when we do return, which right now our target date is right after Christmas, in December, to get them back, to have a good 6 to 7 weeks to try to get them back into the best shape we can and acclimated back into football with a February 20th start to the season and then play a 6-game season during the springtime, February, March, and April is what our target dates are. And what we're doing right now is just controlling the variables that we control, you know, our installs and what we're doing that way, making sure we're doing something to stay in some type of shape. That we're eating right, and when we're speaking about nutrition and all of those good things. And one of the big things we did is really slow things down a little bit too, and take some time to really go back and address some of the issues that's been going on in this country as well, from the social injustice to women's rights to, you know, investigating our why and why we really do what we do and why, you know, and what's our personal motivation that leads us to commit ourselves to something and be willing to endure a process to become consistent at being great at something, and talk about how hard that is. And the guys, they kind of laugh at me, but I say it to them all the time, you know, man, it's hard to win each day. And winning the day takes a process. And through that process, you build some consistency. And with that, man, simple ain't easy. All the time you look at stuff and what people perceive is something that looks really, really simple is really, really difficult. The degree of difficulty is really high. So therefore, man, simple ain't easy. So we got to make sure we're digging into that and what that really means, and applying the win the day type of motif that we really talk about each and every day, and having the consistency to get up each and every day and do it all over again. So it's giving us some time to do those type of things as well.
Now, Coach Scott, I want to take you back here to what you said. How's it been trying to get all these young men registered to vote? Because I know they're all different states, like you said. How is that trying to get the young men to engage about the election, understanding that as young black men, this is really key for us, this election, in so many ways. So how has that been trying to get them to understand that 18, 19, 20 years old, that, hey, this is very important. Know what's going on in your local jurisdiction as well. Get them registered to vote, voting by mail, so they can, you know, participate in the process, because it's very important for us all going forward.
Absolutely, and I think that's why we pumped the brakes on everything, and we did. We actually dealt with this about a month and a half ago now, where we started the When We Vote type of campaign for our football team, and we gave our guys a deadline. We gave them about 48 hours for everybody to get registered to vote. We had 100% of our guys get registered to vote within 2 days from all over the country, in their states and where they are, made sure they were registered. We had our senior leadership group be in charge of getting that done, so it was player-led. It was coach-initiated. Just like anything else in really good football, it was coach initiated, but it was player led. And it was something that was important to the seniors and the leaders that we've appointed, leaders that we have of our team right now, to reach their constituents and all their, you know, their peers, and get everybody on the same page and on board with not only just being registered to vote, but the importance of what it means to vote from here on out, especially in the times and days that we live in, and what that fosters through team continuity as well, to be able to come back now and challenge our other teams and other universities and our other peers around in what we do in the country in college football and on our campus to do the same. So it was something that was, again, initiated by the coaches, but followed up and led through our players. And they really did a good job of holding each other responsible and accountable to getting that done. So we have them all registered to vote. And then that allowed us to get into the dialogue of why it's important to vote right now, with all of the issues that are on the table and everything that we're dealing with in this country. As to what you said, as young black men, but and more importantly for us as coaches, to open up as black men or as men in general as to some of the things that they're feeling, we still feel as men and still go through it ourselves. So it was a very open dialogue, very transparent, open, honest. You know, there was times where we got the being in D.C. affords you a lot of great opportunities to get different law enforcement, branches of law enforcement involved into those conversations, from the local police department here, the DA, FBI, CIA. We have got a lot of different perspectives and everything brought to the table from us, from not only a black male perspective, but a white male perspective, a white female perspective, and a black female perspective. So all the different perspectives and all of the different things that come into being a part of the change, it is what we had. We spent a good deal of time dealing with as well as we shape our culture here at Howard.
And Coach, being from Florida, you know how in Florida and Sammy in Georgia with voter suppression and how they're trying to do the pass Amendment 4 in Florida with Desmond Mead and they're trying to net the poll tax. You trying to talk to me about that as well, because even in your state of Florida, you would think you'd be more progressive than what it is, but voter suppression tactics has been enacted here in Georgia and Florida are the same exact thing going on, and how, hey, we have to overcome the obstacles to vote and be involved. And one, it's to disenfranchise us, whether it be the poll tax or we pass the Amendment 4 in Florida to get people registered to vote who are felons. They try to stop. Yes. So explain to the young men about just even when you do everything right, they still try to throw the obstacles in front of you. Because if your vote didn't matter, they wouldn't try to stop you from using it.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's why it's important that you break it down to them for ourselves in the stages. Again, the process of it. Make sure you register. First and foremost, make sure you're registered, okay? All of us, and then just not get involved in the big races of what's going on around the country, obviously in the presidential race, but be involved in your local government too as well and what's going on at home and what's happening in your local areas and those type of things too. So I think it really goes down to, like you said, the overall education of it all. And then the other issue it becomes, now once you've done all of that, it's kind of like in life, right? Once you put all the little pieces together that hopefully you can go have success, there's still roadblocks. There's still things that come up that are really, at the end of the day, out of your control, but however, in masses through all of us being joined together, hand in hand on this, and being registered to vote, and actually going in voting when you're registered to vote, okay? There's power in numbers. And when we're doing that together, and that's why I was like, hey, we need to call out your other constituents and your other peers around the country, because in droves and in numbers, we're hard to beat, we're hard to stop that way. And those roadblocks are roadblocks that we just bowled right over if we're doing it in numbers. Okay, and making sure that our voices are heard and understanding that this is just not about the moment. It is truly a movement. And if we're going to do it the right way, let's do it through all of the channels that we have available to us to go make that change and take advantage of each and every one of them. So, and then at the end of the day, all of the voter suppression, all of the roadblocks and all of the different things can't win. They won't win unless we allow them to win. And it's one or two of the three, four, or five of us are not going to change it, but hundreds and thousands of us, we will change it. So that's why it's more important right now that we do that and we do it in numbers.
Well, definitely. And I'm looking at the day here in Georgia. Early vote, I started in Georgia today, and the lines are long. Some people waiting 5 hours to vote, but I'm glad they stuck through it and got the vote done, because that's part of the trick. Yep. You know, here in Atlanta, it's crazy that you only have a few sites, and it'll basically like Atlanta, but it's all by design. But to stand there 5.5 hours, get the job done, that means you're dedicated to the cause, and like you said, jump over those robots and put it in front of us as a movement, as a people, we'll get the job done, as you said, Coach.
That's it. That's all we have to do is stand. We have to stay together on it. Stay together, because a lot of the tricks of the trade too, it's to divide us. To throw the dividers and division in there amongst, you know, whether that's belongs party lines or class lines or you know, sex lines or whatever it may be. They'll try to throw roadblocks in there to keep us divided too, because they do know all together, united as one, that we would be a hard force and a hard people to slow down and stop. But we got to stop. We got to make sure too that we get rid of the kind of the crab in the bucket mentality and understand that it takes all of us and not allow them to divide us by any means. Don't divide us when we want to be heard.
Most definitely. Coach, how has it been virtually to go over X's and O's? Because I know you want to get on the chalkboard and notes, taking notes. So how has that been to go over X's and O's, defensive schemes, offensive schemes, and terminology virtually? Because I know from playing sports myself, I don't know how I would be able to handle going over plays virtually without having to run through them and learn them that way.
Yeah, you know, just using our installs and grids and PowerPoints, and you can share your screen and everybody can see it. It almost becomes like video game-ish. We can click and move defenders and move fronts and move people around and show them, and then we can attach the video to it as well to show them through the video as well as our drawings and different things like that. So it's really just being really good with using different software programs, the PowerPoint, and if you need to convert things to PDF and doing those type of things, all of this world that these kids live in anyway, and the modes and modems that they use to learn anyhow, because they're going to always have that phone in their hand. You know, they will always have whatever that Apple device is, that they're used to having things talked to them that way and seeing it that way, and they're used to information coming at them really, really fast. So it really kind of leans into their world a little bit and causes us, like I said, to think out of the box to be able to reach them and do those things. So it's caused some of us coaches to really sharpen up our technology skills and then those type of things. So it's been good for some of the coaches on our staff. And then it's been fun to watch these guys be able to really interact that way and enjoy learning that way. Because that's one of the things we got to challenge ourselves as coaches to do anyway. A lot of guys learn differently, you know, and so what we got to be able to do is use all of the technology and devices that are out there available for us, to be able to do that and tap into all of those things. A lot of them are free. Don't cost much money. Just download an app and whatever, you got it. And now you can draw the end of the deal with the thing and then erase it and put all the drawing same way you would draw on a chalkboard. You just draw it on a whiteboard that they can see virtually from your laptop or from your iPad where you're drawing on it. And then you can erase it and do all of that stuff and they can see it and then play the video right behind it. So it's just using the proper use of technology and really as a coach having a really good plan, being organized and having a really good plan for using these modems, these modes of learning and teaching to reach these young people.
And Coach, how's it been recruiting via Zoom? I know some coaches tell me they like it, some they don't like it, they want to be more in person. So how's it been for you recruiting via Zoom this time around throughout the spring and summer here?
Okay, I tell you, I same deal. I told our coaches, we're not going to talk about what we can't do. Let's focus all of our energy into the things that we can do, okay? So we jumped on it right during the quarantine, way back in March, April, May, we jumped on it, and every night we'd have five or six different guys lined up from about 4 o'clock to all the way to 10, 11 o'clock at night, them and their families. And I found it very, very intriguing for me because what it did for you during that time period where you could never have any talk or really any interaction much, you know, except for the phone with recruits, it actually allowed you to me personally, like an in-home visit without being there. Mm-hmm. Okay, Fortune 500 companies can broker $1 billion deals and $1 million deals over Zoom. From the White House to Russia, I'm sure we think we can recruit a kid and sell our university through using PowerPoints and putting together unofficial virtual tours and different things like that, that where we can share and really delve into early in the process, earlier than you have been afforded the opportunity to do, really delve into all the really good things, both academically, athletically, and socially with these kids and do it at a really early stage in recruiting. And really is giving you a chance to really get to know these young people and their families much earlier than you've had the opportunities to do before. Because recruiting is about relationships. It's about building relationships with people and all of the people that are involved. That's not the player. I mean, if there's a girlfriend, if there's an uncle, if there's a cousin, if there's a coach, if there's a, you know, a grandma, if there's a grandfather, finding all the champions in the situation and getting them all on the same screen and getting them all in the same room very early on in the process has lended well to, you know, been really, really good for us. We're sitting here and early October, mid-October, and we're sitting at 23 commitments now in the Howard football program and really got after it really early, and we think we've got some stills in the class and beat some really good people, some Power 5 FCS programs, Temple and Georgia State and Georgia Southern, some other, you know, other good people like that on a lot of these kids, and they bought into the vision of everything, especially with everything going on in our country right now. Hell, we talk to them all the time. I mean, it's why not Howard? And then why not now? Because now is the time. You want to talk about something not being a moment. This is going to be a movement. And if we can start to move that, all of that towards, you know, all that, you know, all these guys that can see promise in being a part of athletics at Howard University, because obviously the academic tradition of it all speaks for itself. That is what it is. But if they can see themselves getting both the best of both worlds, and with the coaching staff that I was able to put here that have developed guys on from the NFL to the SEC, the ACC, and all those things, why not Howard? I got everything that I want, athletically, academically, and socially. So why not Howard? And a lot of guys have bought into that, and that's where we moved it.
And Coach Scott, I feel like with your background of being at the Power Five schools, the connection you have throughout the country from recruiting Power Five kids, you got a heck of a situation to build as this program the right way here at Howard because of where you came from. You know how it is on that level. You can sell a kid on how to get to that level. They want to get that level into the NFL. So I think, man, Howard has a steal on you, man, because you've experienced it at the highest level. And you know how to get these young men and get them to work at the highest level as well.
I appreciate that. And all of it really is about standards and expectations. You know, what's the standard of what we want to achieve here in every phase of that, athletically, you know, I mean, academically, athletically, and socially. What is the standards? And that's what we do in our program. We don't have a lot of rules, man. We got core values, which means we're going to live by a code. And then at the end of the day, it's like, all we're going to ask you, is that the standard? And it's a yes or no answer. There's no gray area. There's no conversation. There's no excuses. Period. At the end of the day, there's standards, okay? Our academic standards over 3.0. Are you at a 3.0? No, coach. No, say it. Now let's fix the issue. What do we got to do to get that? Okay, were you in the flat when you're supposed to be in the flat corner? No, I wasn't, coach. Okay, great. Let's get that fixed. It's a yes or no answer. And getting kids to live by those standards, I think it really, once you start to get that culture right, whether it's a yes or a no answer, there's no excuses, and they live by a code, which starts with honesty being number one, you change the culture. You change the culture of what it means to be, you know, to align yourself, to put yourself in the best situation possible to be successful and win a lot of games, but not only win games, those same core values and standards help you grow as a man in life. And that's what we're doing. We're building it. I think we're down to trying to do it the right way and helping them understand that this is just a vehicle and a tool to prepare you for the game of life. And hopefully we can win a couple championships in the midst of doing that.
Coach Scott, I definitely believe in what you got going. You got me fired up as well, Coach. I'll come play for you. 33 years old, I'll come play for you. If I still have money left, I'll come play for you. Sure will, man.
You got a couple snaps in here at 33. You got maybe one or two in.
Yeah, hey, put me in the slot, man. I give you an option around here. See if it's on the man real quick for you. Okay.
I love it. There we go.
Hey, this ain't not a scene, mother. Cool. Hey, you playing cover one? Okay. I mean, you got a scene real quick. I got you. Okay.
There you go. We'll get you open down the scene. We'll get that done by look. Here we go. Let's go, baby. He ain't going to cover you. We're going to get it to you quick, too, because we know you can't get all the way down the field. We're going to get it to you quick.
I still get out of it a little bit, coach. I can still get out a little bit, coach. I got a few left in me.
All right. Just make sure you don't pull nothing to strain, nothing to tap, nothing trying to do it.
Got that right, hey, I don't help as I used to, man. You got that right.
I hear you, boss, man.
Hey, coach, it's been great, man. We can do this again real soon. Wish best luck. We got to talk again in February right before things get started, man. Check on your team, man. Hey, best luck to you. And I hope you can get down here and play somebody in Georgia real soon, man. You give them a surprise because I know the schools here ain't that good in football. I know you can get it done, man. I got confidence in you.
Well, that's the plan, dog. That is the plan. Absolutely, my man.
Well, folks,
I appreciate you, boss. Thanks for having me on, man.
No doubt, folks. It's Larry Scott on the Boss Man Show, the coach of the Howard Bison out of MEAC Conference, getting the job done.